So, as you know, I like little titles to my sermons, and I've got two. So, I'm going to let whoever uploads a sermon pick the one they want, which is Simon. The first title would be The Freedom of Not Using Your Freedom. The Freedom of Not Using Your Freedom. And the second one would be Letting Love Be the Limiter of Our Liberty. So we're going to continue preaching through a letter we've got in the Bible. The letter is called 1 Corinthians. It's one of a number of letters that Paul wrote to this church that he planted under God in a city called Corinth. And we've reached chapter 9 of the letter, chapter 9 of 1 Corinthians, even though it didn't originally have chapters. And even though it didn't originally have verses, we're going to be looking at chapter 9, verses 1 to 14. And over the last few chapters of Corinthians and on to the next couple of chapters as well, we're in a section of the letter where Paul's addressing certain questions that the people in Corinth were asking him. So I want you to look back at the very beginning of chapter 7 in 1 Corinthians. So the very beginning of chapter 7, Paul writes this: "Now concerning the matters about which you wrote." And then he starts to address some difficult topics. So the Corinthians have written to him, asking about certain subjects and topics. They're asking him poignant questions, questions about the nitty-gritty of real life situations. And Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, answers those questions for them. Now, in chapter 7, he talked about some very tricky questions around marriage and singleness. And then in chapter 8, as Pete talked about last week, he answers some questions that the Corinthians had in regards to food and food sacrificed to idols. So we need to understand that in this part of the letter, Paul's answering some very specific questions which the Corinthians had. And in many ways, the questions that they had were tied into the specific culture of that day. And Pete spent some time talking to us a bit about the background, didn't he, and the culture of what was going on and what was behind some of those questions they were asking about these food sacrifices. And sometimes I think we can struggle, can't we? We can struggle to relate to some of the things that Paul is talking about because we simply don't live in the same culture as they lived in. The concepts can seem a bit foreign to us, right, when he's talking about them. So when I pick up a packet of bacon from a supermarket, I'm not worrying too much about whether it's been sacrificed to an idol. Maybe I should, I don't know. But there's principles that we can take from Paul's teaching in these sections that do apply to any context. And as Pete said last week, the main principle from chapter 8 is presented to us in verse 13 of chapter 8. So just have a look at chapter 8 of 1 Corinthians and have a look at verse 13. "Therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never eat meat lest I make my brother stumble." So the main principle from chapter 8 is this: if doing something, and in this specific case, eating certain meat, causes my brother or sister to stumble, and I would say that causing them to stumble in this sense, it means wounding their conscience. If you have a look back at verse 12 of chapter 8. "So if doing something causes me to wound the conscience of my brother or sister, then I won't do it. Then I'll choose not to do it." In other words, you may have the freedom in Christ to do something, but if it's going to hurt someone else, then don't do it. That's the principle. And that was a really important principle for Paul to get across to the Corinthians. Why? Because the Corinthians were using their freedom in Christ to basically do whatever they wanted. Remember that kind of slogan that the Corinthians seemed to be using back in chapter 5 of Corinthians, of 1 Corinthians, chapter 5, in verse 12. I remember I preached this a few weeks ago, and they had this kind of slogan, "All things are lawful for me." And Paul takes that slogan and he says, yes, but not all things are helpful. And that slogan is repeated again in chapter 10, in verse 23 of 1 Corinthians. All things are lawful. And again, he says, yes, but not all things are helpful. And chapters 8, 9, and 10 of Corinthians are picking up on this theme, this idea again that, yes, you are free to do things, but not all things are helpful for your brothers and sisters. And he's going to flesh it out a bit more because it's such an important principle in how we're to love each other as Christians and what that means in practice, what that love for each other means in practice. And basically it's this. It's thinking about others before yourself. Will what I am doing hurt someone else, even though I'm free to do it? So that's why I like the title of one of the titles I chose, and I didn't come up with it myself. It's from a preacher called John MacArthur, and he said, "We have a liberty, but love becomes the limiter of our liberty." Love becomes the limiter of our liberty. Yes, we have a liberty, but our liberty is limited by love. There are certain things that I don't do in certain situations around certain believers. And I'm talking about myself now, okay? There's certain things I don't do around certain believers in certain situations because I know that there might be a risk that it might cause them to stumble. I might wound their conscience. Then again, in another situation, I do the exact same things around those believers because I know it doesn't bother them. And how do I know it doesn't bother them? Because I've asked them. I've asked them whether doing this thing will bother them, whether doing this thing will cause them to stumble. And they've said, no, it won't, brother. You're okay to do that. But I know in other situations it would, so I choose not to do it. And this principle of the freedom of not using your freedom is so important to Paul that he chooses to continue talking about it and illustrating it in chapters 9 and 10. It's obviously such an important principle to explore for Paul to spend a number of chapters on it. And this is the great thing about preaching through the Bible in going through books, okay? If you just let us as preachers choose our own topics, we'd always preach our favorite topics. And you know that because every time we get a free shot, I either talk about freedom in Christ or the second coming. You give it to somebody else and they'll talk about their favorite topic. But by preaching through the Bible book by book, we repeat the things that God repeats. And God wants to repeat this thing, this principle out, the freedom of not using your freedom sometimes. So Paul spends three chapters on it. And in chapter 10, he uses an illustration from Israel's history. But in chapter 9, he chooses to use an illustration from his own life. And it's a really interesting illustration he chooses to use. He chooses to talk about the right he has as a preacher of the gospel to receive support from the church in Corinth for his labor. But even though he has that right, that freedom to ask for that right to be supported, he chooses not to use that right, not to demand that right, because doing that might be an offense to some people. So let's have a look at the section we've got, and let's read verses 1 to 7 of 1 Corinthians chapter 9 together. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Am I not free? Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus our Lord? Are not you my workmanship in the Lord? If to others I am not an apostle, at least I am to you, for you are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord. This is my defense to those who would examine me. Do we not have the right to eat and drink? Do we not have the right to take along a believing wife, as do the other apostles and the brothers of the Lord and Cephas? Or is it only Barnabas and I who have no right to refrain from working for a living? Who serves as a soldier at his own expense? Who plants a vineyard without eating any of its fruit? Or who tends a flock without getting some of the milk? So in these verses, Paul says, you say that you're free, but am I not free too? In fact, I'm an apostle, one sent by the Lord Jesus. In fact, I've seen Jesus. And it should be clear to you that I'm an apostle because you yourselves are a result of my work in the Lord. You yourselves are a seal of my apostleship. See, the Corinthians were going around and they were saying, we can do whatever we want. We're free. We can eat meat offered to idols if we want, no problems. And Paul says to them, I'm free too. I'm even an apostle. But even so, there's some instances where I set aside my liberty so that I don't offend someone. Paul is saying he's got certain rights to do things. He could take a wife if he wanted, but for reasons he's outlined before, he's choosing not to do that for himself so he can focus all his efforts on his missionary work. But then he brings up the subject of working for a living. And he asks the question, is it only Barnabas and I who have no right to refrain from working for a living? Paul and Barnabas had every right, if they wanted to refrain from secular work, if you want to put it that way, and ask to be supported in their ministry by the church in Corinth. It seems like other people were doing that because he says, is it only me and Barnabas who have to work to earn our food and drink? And he then uses three examples in the world to back up this idea of getting paid for your work, that getting paid for your work is a right and good thing. And the examples he uses are the examples of a soldier, a farmer, and a shepherd. Soldiers in that day were paid to be enrolled in the army. They didn't get much, but they got enough to get food, drink, and a shelter. Farmers planted vineyards, and they could eat some of the fruit they produced to get by. Shepherds tended to their flocks, and as a result, they could get some of the milk. It was good and right that as a result of someone's labor, they should be paid for it. And so after using some human examples of that principle of being supported through your vocation, Paul also then says that even the law of Moses supports this principle. So let's read verses 8 to 10 together. Do I say these things on human authority? Does not the law say the same? For it is written in the law of Moses, you shall not muzzle an ox when it treads out the grain. Is it for oxen that God is concerned? Does he not speak entirely for our sake? It was written for our sake because the ploughman should plough in hope and the thresher thresh in hope of sharing in the crop. That verse that Paul is referring to, do not muzzle an ox, is in Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 4. And if you go and look at it, I don't do it now, but if you go and look at it, it's in the middle of a section where loads of miscellaneous laws are just being laid out. And then there's just this one verse that says, do not muzzle an ox when it's treading the grain. And Paul takes that verse and he says that that applies to gospel workers being paid for preaching the gospel. Okay, I would never make that link, but Paul's an apostle from the Lord, inspired by the Holy Spirit, and that is the link. That is what God was talking about. He wasn't just talking about oxen. He was saying that when someone's working, they deserve to get paid. When someone's preaching the gospel, they deserve to be paid or their provisions be given them. So when an ox was treading the grain, people would put a muzzle around its mouth to stop it from eating any of the grain. Basically saying, you do all the work, but you can't eat any of the grain. Just work for me. And Paul says that it's not just the ox that God's talking about. It's a principle for us. The plowman and the thresher, the ones who work, should work in hope of sharing the crop, sharing in the fruits of their labor. The shepherd should be able to have some milk. The soldier should be provided for. The vineyard planter should be able to eat some of their fruit. So what's going on here? Well, what's going on is it seems like Paul and Barnabas were having to pay their own way while they were in Corinth. They were having to pay for their own food and drink. Whilst they were there ministering to the church, teaching the church, preaching to the church, building up the church, they were having to pay their own way. And because of that, we know that Paul had to take on a secular job as a tent maker. He was a tent maker by trade to pay his way. And Paul is saying this. Actually, you know what? I have every right to ask you to give me food and drink whilst I'm working here in the gospel. I have every right to do that. Under God, Paul had planted that church in Corinth. He was like the planter of the vineyard, if you want to put it that way. Was it too much for him to expect to reap some material fruit from his labor? Look at verses 11 and 12 with me. If we have sown spiritual things among you, is it too much if we reap material things from you? If others share this rightful claim on you, do not we even more? He's saying, look, I planted this church. Is it too much for me to expect a little bit of food and drink from you guys when I'm coming to like preach to you? That's what he's saying. He's like, I've got every right to ask you to give me a meal every now and again. That's completely within my rights. Not only does the world teach that, but actually the law of Moses teaches that. And then Paul goes on to say above that, in verse 14, that actually the Lord commanded that. The Lord commanded that those who proclaim the gospel should get their living by the gospel. So he's saying it's completely within my right. It's my freedom. It's my freedom to ask you to support me in my ministry while I'm here. He continues like going into this in verse 13. If you read verse 13 with me, do you not know that those who are employed in the temple service get their food from the temple, and those who serve at the altar share in the sacrificial offerings? In the same way, the Lord commanded that those who proclaim the gospel should get their living by the gospel. Now, it's not really clear whether that was a command that Paul received directly from Jesus or whether Paul's referring back into the book of Matthew, chapter 10, verse 10, when Jesus says that basically you should get provided for when you go out and preach the gospel, when he's sending out the apostles. He says, don't take a bag with you because a laborer is worth his wages. But anyway, Paul does say that the Lord commands that someone who preaches the gospel should get their living by the gospel. And he uses a couple more examples to kind of hammer that point home. So to summarize what Paul has said so far, because I know I've spoken quite fast and I've said a lot of things. So let's summarize what Paul has said in this section. And it's this. Yes, you are free to do certain things. But sometimes you should choose not to do them for the sake of others. I am free and totally within my rights as an apostle to ask you to provide for me whilst I minister here in Corinth. Even worldly workers, get this, like farmers, shepherds, and soldiers. Actually, even the law of Moses says this, and the Lord himself commanded this. And I am free and well within my right to ask you for these things. But, and this is where I have to very briefly dip into Simon's passage next week as I close. I'm not going to nick it all, but I have to dip into verses 15 to 18 to qualify this, but. So Paul has said all that, those things. He's like, I'm well within my rights to ask you for that stuff. That's my freedom. But look at verse 15. But I have made no use of any of these rights, nor am I writing these things to secure any such provision. For I would rather die than have anyone deprive me of my ground for boasting. For if I preach the gospel, that gives me no ground for boasting. For necessity is laid upon me. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. For if I do this of my own will, I have a reward. But not of my own will, I am still entrusted with a stewardship. What then is my reward? That in my preaching, I may present the gospel free of charge so as not to make full use of my right in the gospel. You've got to love those verses, haven't you? Yes, Paul has every right to ask for food and drink for his work in Corinth, but he chooses not to. And this is the whole point, isn't it? This is the whole point of my sermon. Yes, you might have the freedom to do things, but sometimes you choose not to for the sake of your brother or sister. Yes, Paul could ask them to give him food and drink for his work in Corinth, but he chose not to. And why did he choose not to do that? Because he didn't want anything to distract or detract from the beautiful truth of the good news of Jesus Christ, that the gospel is free of charge. The gospel is free of charge. God's love and forgiveness is freely available to all who come to him through his son, Jesus Christ. Paul didn't want to be paid to tell the wonderful message that Jesus came to lay down his life freely for those he came to save. He doesn't want anything to distract or detract from that message, from that wonderful message. Listen, he doesn't want to preach a message of free grace and then immediately send them an invoice. It just completely contradicts the message. I hope you're hearing what I'm saying. Because he could have asked for that. He could have. He could have asked for them to give him that stuff. But he chose not to. Because he loved them. Because he just wanted to come and serve them. And here's the point. He let his love be the limiter of his liberty. He let love limit the extent to which he used his liberty. And was not Paul simply following the same thing that the Lord Jesus did? Listen. If anyone had the right to come to Earth demanding their rights, I am the king of the universe. I made the universe. You should be bowing to me. You need to bow to me. If anyone had the right to do that, would it not have been Jesus to come down to Earth demanding his rights, using his liberty, if you want to put it that way? But did he do that? Did the king of the universe come and do that? No. But how did Jesus come? And I was really praying for God to show me how these things tie together. Because you know what? I don't just want to give you the example of Paul and say, oh, look at what Paul was doing. Just do that. I want to get to the real reason why Paul was doing what he was doing. And that's because Jesus laid down his life for him. He was loving because Jesus had first loved him. And as I finish this sermon, I want to take us to a part of scripture that just encapsulates all the things we've been looking at this morning perfectly. And it's in the book of Philippians. And I want you to turn there with me. It's in Philippians chapter 2. Not only does this portion of scripture teach us how to act towards each other, but it teaches us why we should act in that way as well. Let's read it together. Philippians chapter 2. And it's Paul writing again to the church in Philippi. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. You can almost imagine him writing this to the Corinthians, right? Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We can only love because God first loved us. We can only love because Jesus first loved us. We can only put others first because Jesus has given us his mind, the mind that put others first before his own needs, to lay down his rights to come and die for us. And it's only when we've received God's free gift of grace in Jesus that we are able to give out the same unconditional love and service to others. Freely you've received, now freely give. And so I just want to end with a couple of questions. And saints, believe me when I tell you that I'm asking myself these questions too. And they're tough questions, but they're questions that we have to explore if we want to see if we're loving each other in the way that we ought. And it's just this. Are we using our freedom to serve each other? And are we letting love be the limiter of our liberty? Let's pray. Father, I just want to say thank you for sending Jesus. And Lord Jesus, I just want to say thank you that you didn't come down to earth demanding your rights as King of the universe, but you came down to serve us and lay down your life for us. I thank you so much that you're not a tyrannical leader, but you're a servant king. You're the servant king. And I thank you that you made yourself so low to lift us up out of the ash heap, that we might share and partake in your glory. Thank you, Lord, that you're a God like that. Who is a pardoning God like thee, or who has grace so rich and free? Lord, thank you. And I also want to pray, Lord God, that you'll search me and my heart, and you'll search the hearts of my brothers and sisters, and you'll help us to use the liberty that you've bought for us in the right way to serve each other. Please show me, Lord, if there's any way that I'm using my liberty in a way that offends my brothers or sisters. Please lead us as a church, Lord God, as Hill City, as a local church, but also your global church, to be serving each other as we ought, to be considering each other higher than ourselves. And please help us, Lord, to always be using love as the motivator to decide whether to do things or not, whether to do this would be the right thing or not. Lord, often we just confess that there's grey areas and we don't know and we need wisdom. But please just help us, Lord, to make the right decisions, to make the right decisions, to serve your church well, to serve your church. Lord, I can't really preach this passage without also asking us to show us if there's any way we could be supporting gospel work, if there's any way we could be giving towards a gospel work. Lord, please reveal those things to us as well. Lord, but we just want to show our love for you by loving your brothers and sisters, Lord, and by serving them. Thank you that your gospel is free. Thank you that your gospel is free to any who come. And help us, Lord, having freely received, to freely give. In Jesus' name, amen.